like
Ja, det är det.
We've just talked about essentially the concept of quantum biology, and you explained that in tetrionics you have a totally different approach. In physics, it gives you exactly the same results as physicists have found in their measurements. In biology, you find that there are some very stark discrepancies in the modeling that have been made on the basis of mathematical assumptions and interpretations, whereas when you build the molecules, you see that, for example, for RNA and DNA, something else seems to be going on, something much more simple seems to be going on than is described in the books of biology. And you wondered why biologists have difficulty to understand that, and I gave a rather lengthy description of why I think that would be the case. And that's what I experienced in my medical training, that medical doctors still are too often taught to look at a cadaver and then have to understand what the body would be based on that, and too little they are aware that there is a very strong similarity between our body and a computer, and that we need to have a much better understanding of the relationship between the software and the hardware. And I suggested that in tetrionics it is precisely that what might help biologists to understand deeper what they are doing, because tetrionics gives the possibility to see how the electromagnetic field is actually always present and always required to create the physical field, and that by tetrionics it is then also possible to in a way show what classical Chinese and Indian and shamanic medicine says, that it is spirit that produces the matter and not the other way around. And in tetrionics you would then be able to describe that as it is the electromagnetic field that produces the tetrons and the quarks and the atoms and matter in general, but that it is maybe now practical to help biologists and doctors understand that it is no longer possible to ignore this electromagnetic field within the body, and that we must actually look at the informatics part of biology, because otherwise biology doesn't make sense. And in what you described earlier, you were already implicitly describing that, that it is the informatics part, the electromagnetic field and the coherence of the electromagnetic field in and around biological systems, which is the essence of what we call life. And yeah, I would welcome your reflection on some of those ideas that are presented, because for me they are essential in the way that doctors can learn more about our body and can learn more about life, in the same way biologists at a smaller scale can more about life and more about consciousness if they understand how in tetrionics the electromagnetic field and the physical forms are connected.
For sure. Time will get away from us tonight, but I'm happy to do a full discussion on this tomorrow night if that suits you.
Sure.
Full bone right into it. But for now, the simplest thing I can say, just to give us a sort of preface into this discussion that's coming up, what we're talking about is what I keep referring to as Descartes' compromise. Science had to be born somehow. Descartes argued that he wanted to bring in this whole new field of rational scientific endeavor, explanation. The Pope agreed on the condition that he concentrated on the material side of things and left the spiritual matters to the Pope and the Church. He agreed, and so science was born as a standalone philosophy. the problem with that was, and this has persisted up until Tetrionix, there's been no proper definition of and differentiation between mass, energy, and matter. Now, energy is a nebulous term, as most scientists, and I've had a few even this week, argue the point that energy is nebulous, it has no shape, no form, etc. Tetrionix beggars to differ from that viewpoint, in that we take its angular momentum and we relate that to an equilateral geometry, or a triangular geometry in particular. And then we say, in the broadest terms at this point, any measurement of energy, of any measurement of changing energy per second, is a measure of mass. And that relates particularly to what the church held sway over, which was the immaterial, the untangible, but all the same able to exert forces. This is what eventually will become to be known as the life force in biological systems. They're planar, they're invisible, but they have tangible forces because they contain linear momentum. Now, these same forces, these immaterial forces, as you pointed out in the previous discussion, through their charged geometries, these charged masses, Planck masses, have the ability to form standing wave topologies. So the equilateral geometry becomes a 3D material topology. And that material topology is what Tetrionix defines as matter. Now, most of the illustrations in Tetrionix, as they're done for the purposes of explaining the various principles, are in essence representations of mass matter at absolute zero, where they have no chem field or no BEM field around them. That implies that there is no black body radiation, no thermal energy, no form of intelligence or life force. It is what that particle would appear to be if you could zoom down and observe it at absolute zero. The moment you add any energy, and this energy, again, is mass, we insert energy into the system, whether it's thermal energy, whether we give the particle a push and give it some kinetic energies, etc., apply a force, all those nebulous terms of force and kinetic energy and thermal energy, etc., which are poorly defined in physics at present, are rigidly and geometrically defined in Tetrionix as a form of mass. 2D planar geometries are mass energies, whereas 3D material topologies are mass matter. Energy being any one of those forms. It can be mass, it can be matter, or it can just be a form of energy itself, where we're not taking time into consideration. The simplest way to explain it would be to say energy is energy. It's just an equilateral triangle of energy momenta. Mass is energy per second, and matter is energy per second squared. I'll go into this in more detail tomorrow night. But what that gives us in that quick explanation there is the ability to differentiate between mass, energy, and matter, in that one is energy per second, one is just pure energy, the other one is energy per second squared. So once we have that definition and we differentiate between planar geometries and material topologies, we have this ability to now unify what was split by Descartes and the Pope. Whereas the Pope said, I'll handle the immaterial, i.e. mass, and you, Descartes, get the material, i.e. matter topologies, Tetrionix now brings them all back together, says one is a planar geometry, the other is a material topology, but they are all forms of energy, these equilateral triangles of energy. And once we do that, and this is what we'll discuss tomorrow at probably a lot more detail, because there are illustrations in all my work covering it, so I'll just pull out some select ones to give a what I hope is a thorough overview and differentiation between the two, because it is a one of the founding pillars of tetrionics, this ability to differentiate. Once we can do that, we can then see how matter, what physicists and science in general has focused on for the last four centuries, is really just the scaffolding. I often termed it as the canvas around the scaffolding. Mass is the canvas on which matter is formed. Once it's formed, it has no real properties of itself other than the fact that it occupies space. There is no motion, there is no heat, there is no light. There's certainly no intelligence or life force involved in a material object. But once you add more energy or more mass to that system, that's where the exciting things take place. But you don't realize that until you differentiate. Once you differentiate between mass and matter, and that means we stop swapping one term for the other as they do in physics at the moment. Once you apply these definitions rigidly, you see that the more exciting part of physics is the part that the church has been holding on to. And that's the part that gives it the colors. That's the part that gives it heat, gives it motion, gives it the ability to bind one atom to the other to create complex organisms. And more importantly, mass is what breathes life into organic matter. The matter is just inert. It's a standing wave, perpetual mobile, as you say. The energy is still in motion, but it's going round and round in endless loops. It has, apart from its own identity, it is inert. It has no properties and no real ability to do anything. The fields of mass that spread out from matter are what allow matter to be drawn together, to interact, to form larger molecules. They're the charge interaction fields, the force of gravity. They're the they make the London's force, the van der Waals force. All these forces and interactions, the chemical fields, chemical energies are again just chem fields. Biological fields or biological interactions are the result of BEM fields and chem fields. It's the EM part of this that's all exciting, the electromagnetic masses. They're the unseen workhorses of the universe. And to date, since Descartes, or even before Descartes, back to Copernicus and all the earlier scientists, science has been about studying the motion of matter, not explaining what creates that motion. And that's where tetrionics can use these fields of mass energy to explain what Newton couldn't explain, i.e. gravity, to show why it's so similar to Coulomb's law of interaction, and to show why Einstein's general relativity, which uses stress energy tensors and converts mass into energy via Einstein's E equals mc squared without defining matter, so they just call everything mass incorrectly, why that will never be reconciled with quantum field theory while there's no differentiation. But once you differentiate mass from matter and define them properly, you can then reunite what was split apart by the Pope and Descartes. Once you reunite them, you can then see that the spiritual aspect, the immaterial masses, are what drives the universe, what gives life to the material objects that science has been so fixated on. It's not to say that science wasn't right, because if Descartes' compromise hadn't been reached, we wouldn't have advanced to this point in order for me to differentiate between the two. So for everything there's a reason, and there's a path to be taken. The path that we've taken has taken us to this point. Through tetrionics, we can now build up from the bottom up using these triangles of energy to create and define mass and differentiate it from matter. 2D versus 3D, if you like. But once you see how tetrionics does it, and it's just simple geometries, once you get your head around that, you'll never look at the universe the same way again. Where you see motion, heat, light, or colors, and life, you know that mass is at work, fields of mass energy. Where you see something you can touch, feel, sense, something solid, material, you know that standing wave topologies of mass matter exist. A far simpler and I feel more complete explanation of physics than what's offered at the moment through various other models. And we're building on it daily. So it's important that we have the discussion, because obviously I haven't sort of elaborated enough on it, but it should be one of the major things that's discussed is this ability to differentiate or to define and differentiate between mass and matter, so that we can then, once people get their minds around it like mine is, they can see that differentiation and they can start to play with these models and see what's causing what the true life force in the universe is. It's all the same things. They're all built up of triangles of Planck energy. But it's whether it's a planar geometry or a standing wave topology determines what's being measured and how we should define it.
Yeah, it comes back to playing with the triangles. And that's so fundamental in all you keep on presenting it. If you don't play with the triangles and you don't see how the triangles and the tetrahedra interact, then it is difficult for the mind to switch gear and to see that everything physical is only physical, but that everything which moves the physical is the metaphysical, which is the invisible electromagnetic field, which tetrahedra now can address and describe.
Yeah, so for sure. And I'm probably remiss there too, because I spent so much time building these things and playing with them myself that sometimes I just forget. And I assume that people are at a certain level of understanding and that I may have explained it when I haven't. So anytime this occurs, by all means, because something like this is critically important. If people can get their head around the basics of these sort of things, the rest falls into place. Because eventually their mind stops thinking of little round spheres and magical forces, or worse, magical equations that make things happen. As Feynman says, the electron doesn't have a supercomputer inside it. It knows how things work and where other particles are. How? By these fields of mass that exist everywhere in the universe between particles. The electromagnetic fields.
Yes, and so seems that what we're doing now, and we already had the notion of I asked you to do a presentation of what I called Kiddie's Corner, the children's corner, basically that all of the adults who want to understand this can go back to the preschool level of just playing with it, and that we do a video or two on that, basically showing how in the school program children would first play with the triangles for a day, and then play with the tetrahedra for a day, and then play with a combination of them for a day, and then after that are able to play with tetrionics for the rest of their lifetime.
And it's the same way I build tetrionics up.
Exactly. So that people can
see it.
Many
hours cutting and posting.
Because so many people went to school, and in a way they need an example to turn on that they can do it too. And of course, that's also the way by which a lot of people come to grasp, literally grasp Tetrionics, and learn to play with it, and just learn to work with it.
There's a certain sense of dumbing down your brain too, because I know that my original thoughts about how particles interact and all this sort of stuff was far more complicated than what it turned out to be in reality. When you first see how these fields interact and everything, you look at it and you go, that is so simple. And then when you see that it gives the same mathematical equations as what are used in physics at present, suddenly you realize that that's how nature's doing it. It's not spooky interaction, and it's not quantum foam and all this sort of stuff, or virtual particles. It's simply fields of mass energy radiating out from these chunks of matter that bring about all this motion and all these attractions and repulsion forces between objects at a distance. And when you see it, it takes away all the mystery. And we're often befuddled, or we often think it's too complex to understand, when in fact the opposite is quite true.
Yeah, and all comes back to basically having a triangle on the table and noticing that you can turn it over, which from my perspective is actually the operation of freedom of choice. And then you can see that the experience of realization is it is a noun and a verb. The reality is not something that exists. Reality is only what we perceive around us, and there's good reason to doubt that, because ultimately those are just cells on the surface of our body which relay electromagnetic impulses to the core of our brain, where we then create a construct image which we hold to be real, but in fact it is only an interpretation of what goes on around us.
Our body is what clothes our soul.
Nice. And when you see that we are actually working with our body in the environment to learn how to work that, then you can also see that a lot of what we do is based on the principle that we have in our eyes, which is called the blind spots. Exactly there where all of the information from the eye goes into the brain, we don't see what's going on outside. The one blind spot in the one eye patches over, covers up the blind spot in the other eye. But in the same way, we cover up the blind spots by what's called a saccadic movement. The eyes sort of chitter a bit to and fro so that we are always able to compensate one image next to the other and correct the errors between them. But at a deeper level, we also match the left eye to the right eye, and in the deepest level, we match the picture which we make on the inside with the picture that we make from the outside or on the surface of the body. And in that sense,
we see a lot that we assume we see too.
Exactly. And so most of what we think is based on a dynamic of error correction for the blind spots. And if you realize that we don't actually see what goes on around us, then the mechanism of the blind spot in our eye and the correction mechanism on it within our body actually helps understand why we have such difficulty filling in the gaps by our imagination, and why building the tetrions by your hand, you actually don't have that need to fill it in. You don't have to assume things, because in building the tetrions, you're actually doing it, you see it fall in place. And of course there's something very profoundly astounding in what you created with Tetrionics, which is that there is a model which is so simple, which is so in a way unbelievable, and which is so let's just call it plain unrealistic, a triangle. How can you ever imagine that a quantum would be a triangle, or that a triangle can represent a quantum? But you worked with it and you just discovered that it works. And then, of course, with all of the Bohr radii falling in place and all of the Schrodinger numbers falling in place, in a way you don't have to question the validity of the axiomatic assumption anymore. And at that level, you can see that in science there are a lot of assumptions. Every axiom, every singularity, every anomaly is based on an assumption, which the triangle is just as well. The triangle is just an assumption, but it just works, just like some of those other axioms and assumptions worked. So then we can just forego a whole lot of discussion about is it real or not, by replacing it by, okay, play with the triangles and see what comes out of it. And in your case, out of that came four books. You're now working on the fifth, basically biology, quantum biology, and quantum informatics are both combined in that. And that's the level where we are exploring the ideas now in our conversation of today. How can we best help others get a grasp of what you're doing at the level of quantum biology? And it seems that on the one hand it is very important to just do the practicality of playing with the triangles, which comes back to the video on say the children's corner at the preschool. Okay, let's play with triangles and see what comes out of that. And on the other hand, there is a topic which you said that we can explore in the next episode, which is that of how the electromagnetic field and the tetrions interconnect.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like add to that for now?
No, this all harks back to round it off for sometimes now? What's my failing, which is assuming people are far more familiar than they are. And then there's the opposite side of the coin there, where human nature is for people to jump into their areas of expertise without becoming familiar too. They dive in and they either get repulsed by the sheer amount of information and the strangeness of tetrionics, what it has to say, or they just don't, that they need to go back to the basics, grasp the basics. Either way, it's a re-education process for most people. Some people are willing to invest the time to understand what's going on and how it reinterprets everything. Other people aren't. And the latter normally say, well, it's all bunkum, it doesn't work, it can't be possibly right. They simply say that because they fail to grasp the basics. But equally, I'm just as at fault at times of not explaining the basics too. So it's an important lecture that we should cover, and we definitely will. And it's really just explaining how mass energies are what drives the universe, breathes life into it, whereas physics has been focused on the motion of matter itself, the properties of matter. So we'll have a good explanation and an exploration of mass energies.
Yeah, I'm very glad with that, because also for myself, I've been trying to grasp some of the things, and I still have a lot of mind shifting to do, forging the
there's no shortage of it.
The thoughts in my mind.
I did a quick exploration this week when I was just fiddling around with some illustrations and discovered that cube numbers form square numbers. The sum of cubes actually is a square number. And that blew me away. Then I did the illustration of that same statement, and it blew me away further, because I found that 2 cubed has 2 quantum levels, 3 cubed has 3 quantum levels, 4 cubed has 4, etc. And that's all within the equilateral geometry, and all those cube numbers sum up to a square number every time. It is amazing to look at. So yet another mathematical fact fell out that I wasn't even aware of up until this week. So I probably posted it and threw it around the web and stirred things up.
That brings me back to, I'm very glad that you just freely present what you find, that you also take your time of life, which is the only budget we have to work on this.
Sure.
And by freely presenting it, making it possible that the culture catches up, that humanity catches up with this new insight as soon as possible, because evidently a shift is needed to take us away from this destroying of the planet to the understanding of ourselves and creation, which that's also why from a medical perspective on the integrating of all forms of healthcare and using consciousness as the basic modality for healing, I see that tetrionics can be such an important tool or switch or connection point for people to help understand why it is necessary to not look at the cadaver, but look at our consciousness in our experience of life and health.
I've been doing a lot of investigation even on that, and what I have known for quite a while is just becoming more and more reinforced in my own mind, and this will all come into the biology book because that's what I'm thinking about it for, where this idea of the material body clothing who we really are is part and parcel of it all, and that's all got to be explained, and the reasons for it and everything ties back into the ideas of chakra and astral bodies, the immaterial soul versus the material body, all these sort of things. And I just have to work out the illustrations in my mind to convey this information. But once people get their head around it, and that's what I really look forward to, is that where this goes mainstream and lots of people get their head around it, and this shift of perception takes place, and we suddenly come to realize that the religious or the spiritual aspect is just as important as the scientific or material aspect in understanding how the universe works and a place within it.
Yeah.
That's when we start to really appreciate the world for what it is, how we can do better than what we're doing. And in some senses, I suppose you could say that's when humanity will start to mature, hopefully.
Definitely. For the people who are listening to this and for the people who are trying to understand this, it is of course very important to realize that a lot of what is taught in school is not taught because it is right, but because it is convenient. It's convenient for the people who appoint teachers, and it's convenient for people who appoint the pointers and so on. There is a whole systematic conditioning of a cultural consensus which is intended that people can understand each other in a deeper way, that they don't have their personal points of view as their only frame of reference, and then start to deny that somebody else can have a different personal point of view. But instead, in schools, they learn a new shared point of view, which often they take to be real instead of a means to help people communicate with each other. And what is needed now is a means to help people communicate with the rest of the universe. And that, of course, is at the level of understanding yourself and understanding others and understanding the universe, and basically by understanding. And it is at that level that we are now, in a way, talking about tetrionics. That it is not a dogmatic model of the quantum is a tetrahedral, is a triangle which can form a tetrahedron. It is not a Lego game. Lego is the Latin word for playing, by which you can construct the physical universe as we know. But tetrionics is also the mindset by which we can actually think about body and mind in the same terms. And then, of course, most important, tetrionics is thereby an instrument to see and experience how we can actually do that within ourselves.
Well, that's part of the end goal, is once we've gone through this, I suppose, education process, for lack of a better word, this explanation of how to differentiate between mass and matter, and how to build these physical systems and explanations of how the universe works and people get their head around it, they will slowly come to the same realization that I've come to, that what we perceive as our important everyday limited lifetime is really nothing more than a nursery for our soul. It's our birth was the creation of our soul, our identity. We will gain a lifetime of experiences within our limited life on Earth, and at that point the mass energy of our body is released, leaving behind the material matter. And it's that mass energy that goes off with all the experiences, and that's what's important. Not, it's, we're here to be born and to be nurtured within our human bodies, to experience life, to wonder and awe at it, and to learn as much as we can, and hopefully leave it a better place than what we found it.
Yeah.
As people get to understand what Tetrionics and how it explains all these different aspects, I think they'll find that there's a much stronger correlation and reconciliation between spiritual beliefs and science than they ever believed. And at the same time, they'll come to an awareness that we're still very young as a species, humanity, as such, and we've still got a long way to go before we can consider ourselves important or important enough to take a place in the universe. This idea of the material body is so much a tiny piece of the entire puzzle. But that's what Tetrionics is about. It's about trying to gently make these connections in people's minds so that they come to understand it. It's a big shock to the system at first.
True. A friend of mine, an embryologist, had a nice metaphor in saying that in the way that we are born onto the earth, at some point we are born outside of our body, that the body is in that sense a placenta and the earth a womb. What is being birthed is our soul, but there's also in what you mentioned, I like to connect that up when you say that what actually is being birthed from the body is a soul, and of course in health and in healthcare, the most important part is that the electromagnetic energy field in the body in part caters to what happens in the world around it. In Chinese and Indian medicine, that would be called the mind part or the body part of the mind. And there is also the other part where the mind actually is connected to the soul. And Chinese medicine calls that the soul part of the mind. And once you realize that, then you can see that there are a lot of people who are torn between the two. And that instead of the mind bridging between body and soul, the mind in a way gets torn because people on the outside say that the body part is how it works. Say that would be the scientifical or the skeptic's perspective. While in the religious or in the dogmatic perspective, it would be that the soul is the only reality that you live. But as a result, the mind splits. Instead of working as a whole, it works on the soul part, or maybe not even anymore, or it works on the body part, or not even anymore. And then the rifts between cause the psychotic functioning in the mind, or also the disease forms in the body. And then, of course, you can see that self-healing is the restoration of the integrity and the identity of that electromagnetic field within us. But then there is something else that plays a role. I long time ago wrote a book on self-healing, which in a way describes this essence. But there is a just as important or even more important part, which is that as humans, we are cells in the body of humanity, and the electromagnetic field or consciousness field within each of us is resonant connected to all of us. And many cultures call that connected consciousness God. And there are a lot of wars over that, but there's too limited training for people to actually experience it. Because it does mean that you still the mind and sort of disconnect from the environment that you're in, so that the body mind can reconnect to the soul mind, and the soul mind can reconnect to the soul, so that the soul can connect to all the other souls. Because that is the, say, the time fractal of the electromagnetic field within our body, but it is connected to the electromagnetic field of all the other bodies, in the same as one radio station can connect to a lot of radios and the other way around. It's the metaphor of the mobile phone. So in that sense, all of our bodies are mobile phones, but all of our body together
ripples in the pond
are the internet provider, the service provider, the God system, the server. We need to live both of that. And in Tetrionics, the accessing of the electromagnetic field, making that explicit, will also help biologists in the book that you're writing now, but will also help healthcare and the other projects that we're doing. So I'm really glad
it's
for what you're doing.
It's an important foundation block.
Yeah. Because in what you're doing, it helps to simplify a lot of what spiritual healthcare and spiritual trainings and mystical schools have been talking about. But now it is possible to describe in the same terms what happens in the body and what happens in the soul, mind, spirit. So that's very
your brain gets more familiar with thinking about mass versus matter.
Exactly.
You start to see and make sense of a lot more connections to the less traditional medicines, if you like. You can see how they're working and how their acupuncture is bringing about the restoration of flow of energies, etc. You can see all these connections that have normally been dismissed because modern physics just looks at the material body and says, well, yes, that's making his liver better, or no. And if it does and they can't explain it, then they've got to scratch their heads and say, well, jury's out on exactly how well this works, but it seems to have some effect. Then they bring in the placebo effect and rah, rah, rah. Whereas Tetrionics, we can start to visualize these fields. We can start to see, well, hang on, that's what's really going on.
Yeah.
There's no placebo. There is a change of mass energy within that body, and that has a positive effect.
Yeah. If you change the information structure, then the energy structure will change, and then the chemistry will change, the physical change.
Precisely.
And in fact, in science, they realized that when classical science looked at the physics of things, and then relativistic science described the chemistry of the molecular dynamics, and then quantum theory described the atomic changes and transformations, and now at a deeper level it's possible to describe that subatomic energy field. So in a way, science has already moved from physics to chemistry to electromagnetics to informatics. In healing, spiritual healing works with the informatics. It changes the worldview of people so that they can act from a more integrated manner, as a result of which their electromagnetic regulatory system will connect to the environment better, which is also where acupuncture works, homeopathy as well. And as a result of that, the body chemistry and the organ function, and thus the organic function, can start to fall back in place, so that the physiology can then reconstruct the body in the way the body integrity would normally be if it was not interrupted by other things, and then the anatomical body will be restored. So that's the essence of integral healthcare and what I'm describing in the science of life, that it is all very simple. But then with the help of Tetrionics, it's now possible to make that very clear and explicit that yes, we have the body, the physiology is also the mind, the electromagnetic system is also the regulatory system which puts the tuning into our environment, but the basis of it is our realization, which is the information field, which is carried by the body, but also carries the body in creating the body from the first cell as it unfolded. Mm. And it is that part where in tetrionics, actually there is the relationship between the electromagnetic field and the tetrion. But then in the particle zoo, you can see how the cells operate that dynamic. And at the atomic level, you can see how the organs work with these processes. And then the physicality of the body is the result. But it's always based on the interplay between that electromagnetic field, which is also a radio field, which is also an information field, which is also a field in formation. And once that is understood, then you can see that the physicality of the body and the integrity of the physicality of the body is the result of the integrity of that electromagnetic field, and that people can learn from tetrionics that it is important to understand how that information field in the body is important, and they should not let others destroy its integrity, but also that they should not have an integrity of that field which disregards the existence of other people doing the same. So it's healing and healthcare is a very fascinating topic, because you're working with the mind and the body of the individual, but you're at the same time working with the mind and the body of humanity and all life forms. And that's
all where ripples in the same pond.
Yeah. And tetrionics can help to grasp that from a very much more fundamental level, and also it provides a scaffolding for all those biologists who try to understand life, and all the medical doctors who try to understand how they can work with life, to now realize that that life which are looking for is actually an electromagnetic radio information field. This is the software within the system, as acupuncture shows, and as shamanism knows, and as homeopathy applies. Because Cyril Smith has long ago shown that acupuncture and homeopathy work with exactly the same principles, which is organized electromagnetic frequencies provided for the body so that it can restore its information processing. With tetrionics now, there is this whole extensive description
awareness
of how that takes place at all levels of physicality, and how the electromagnetic fields tie in with that,
both within and outside the body.
Yes.
But not only what we're creating, but also what we're surrounding ourselves with on a daily basis, how that impacts on us.
And that's where the traditional mystical trainings formulated as we are being created, while at the same time we are creators. And I call that creator in creation, because then it is a creator in creation as the ongoing process of creating yourself, but also the creator in creation as somebody who can create newness in the reality that we live in.
Yep.
Kelvin, how would you like to conclude this exploration conversation which we just had? Because I think that might be a good moment to do so.
I think I'll for once be quiet. I think we've covered it pretty well. I mean, like, the discussion we carry on with next will be it's an important foundation point, and I feel rather upset that I haven't explained it or elaborated on it in more detail prior to this. But it's important because this is where the melding of the spiritual and the material come together, science and religion, all these different aspects, 2D, 3D, etc. All that focuses around understanding the difference between planar geometries and material topologies. Once you get your head around that, and I developed it purely because I was building the paper models. But hopefully I'll explain it clearly and enunciate all the important points. but once people get their head around that, they won't view physics or even spiritual matters in quite the same light ever again, because it really does flesh out the difference between the two and how they can relate to each other. Once you do that, then the simpler explanation becomes the mainstream way of thinking, and a lot of things just become a lot simpler to nut out and to understand in that perspective.
Yeah, and tetrionics in that sense is not only the foundation for a new technology in science, but also a new technology of consciousness.
Yeah, it may even become a new spirit way of interpreting spiritual beliefs and spiritual understanding, yeah, and bringing it more back into a melding of science and religion versus the current chasm that shall never be spanned between the two.
Yeah, all by so showing that mass is distinct from matter and how they are connected.
Yeah, well, nice. The same thing happens, mass and matter. They're interchanged all the time. Science shall never meet religion. You can't bring science and religion up in the same sentence. But you can certainly mix mass and matter around all you want in a sentence, and nobody seems to notice or bat an eyelid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a conundrum, but yeah, that's what tetrionics is all about, making a simple definition and geometric explanation of the two and saying, if you accept this premise, here's what we can explain and what we can build upon from there. It opens a lot of doors, so hopefully people will come to see it the way I see it.
Yeah, you're already walking through that door, and as a result you're opening that birth canal, and so that also for me and with me all the others who want to follow along. Thank
freedom
you very much, Kelvin. And
that's what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. And then I suggest that we end the recording here, and next time we continue with the details of that. As usual, after I hang up, I'll come back to evaluate with you.
Yeah.
Thank you,
no problems.
Kelvin.
Cheers.